Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Triune God, who calls us into community. Amen.
Amen.
Here we are, Christ the King Lutheran Church. We've arrived at the last Sunday of our liturgical year, Christ the King Sunday. Next Sunday, we begin a new church year with the arrival of Advent, a season of waiting and preparing for Christmas, for the coming of the Christ child. But this Sunday, we hear an eschatological or end of days passage from the Gospel of Matthew that serves as a final warning to Jesus' disciples. This judgment-laden passage directly follows the parable of the 10 bridesmaids we heard 2 weeks ago and the parable of the talents we heard last week, both also warnings and teachings to the disciples. And after this passage in Matthew, the plot to kill Jesus is solidified, and Jesus is firmly on the way to the cross. Within this passage, we see a judgment scene playing out before involving two groups. We have the righteous and the accursed. Though this may be a familiar passage to many of us, I'm curious if we hear this passage from more of an individualist cultural perspective. Specifically, are we hearing the king saying, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink," as in you singular, thereby causing you and I to reflect and evaluate whether we personally are involved in ministries that are feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, and so on down through this list of needs. I would like to read a little bit of this passage to you in a different way that's going to make myself as a native Pennsylvanian and maybe some of you who are English teachers cringe a little bit. So I apologize for that. Here we go. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, y'all, who are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for y'all from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and y'all gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and
y'all
gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and
y'all
welcomed me. I was naked, and
y'all
gave me clothing. I was sick, and
y'all
took care of me. I was in prison, and
y'all
visited me." Did you know God was a Texan? What this passage is emphasizing is this communal response to individual needs. There may be other places, but in my own experience, there was no better place for me to learn about what it means to live communally than in Guatemala. The vast majority of Guatemalan families live in villages where houses are situated very close together. These houses are often made out of corrugated metal or bamboo, occasionally some concrete, but always with a corrugated metal roof. And for this reason, one's experience of privacy is very different from what I imagine most of your and my experiences are in our houses here in Houston. You can hear your neighbor's conversations, struggles, and joys as part of your own family's experiences. From a very young age, kids learn the importance of collective community as a source of strength, survival, and comfort. What my neighbor needs today, I will give them if I have it today, because tomorrow I may not have it, and my neighbor will help me. This mentality is innate and was a surprise to me coming from a culture that focuses so much more on the individual and on having enough. You can imagine how shocked I was upon moving into my house in Guatemala when my neighbor was introducing himself and finished his introduction by handing me his car keys, saying, "I noticed you didn't have a car and you're going to need groceries. Here, take mine." This mentality often caught me off guard also at Hope Academy, our girls' school in Guatemala, where students and families became each other's community, collectively accountable for the well-being of all the children. One of the best examples I can share with you is from our first school year in 2019, when we were gathering at the orphanage because our school building was not yet ready. One of our students had been absent for many days, and I will name her Melanie in this story. Everyone was worried, including all of Melanie's classmates. We learned that her mother and the children in the family had been survivors of severe domestic violence and subsequently were trying to move out and start over near her grandparents. The orphanage, the staff, and all the students each brought something to school for the family. Remember, these are very poor families, and so they could not simply go out to the store and buy some items for her. Instead, they decided what they had in their home that they could spare. An extra cooking pot, a bag of rice, two rolls of toilet paper, a blanket, or a towel. And then mid-morning, when our children would normally be out in the playground having recess, they instead hiked up a steep mountain, each carrying an item and a card that they made for their friend, up, up, up to Melanie's house. The hike took about a half hour, and these were 4 to 6-year-olds, and those kids were atypically quiet. The air was thick with anticipation. When we arrived at Melanie's home and the little girls, each one by one, presented their card to her and gave her a hug, smiles began to overwhelm their faces. The adults comforted her mother, and siblings helped to begin to set up their home in this small, corrugated, metal rectangular space with square footage that was smaller than the inside of our altar rail. Melanie returned to school the next day, her friends taking her hand and helping her to get the work caught up that she had missed, and each showing a particular sensitivity to her needs in the moment. The community cares for the individual. And I would tell you, this is both an innate and an essential part of the culture that I experienced in Guatemala. The expectation of the accountability of the community to care for the individual in need is palpable and visceral. Each year I was in Guatemala, I witnessed both the community noticing someone who was within, who was in need, and the community noticing and bringing in someone not yet part of the community, but who needed to be. And there was action, sacrifice, invitation, a car, a cooking pot, a bag of rice, an offer to walk alongside, a smile. Today's gospel reading reminds us of the necessity of the communal to step up for the sake of the individual. In fact, the verses that we hear in English, just as you did it or did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it to me, more vividly in ancient Greek reads, to the degree that you did or did not do it to the least of these, to that same degree, you did or did not do it to me. In Jesus' time, giving food to those who were hungry and drawing water for those who were thirsty were mandates, an essential act of hospitality, as was taking travelers, strangers, often foreigners, into one's home, providing food and shelter at points along their journey. Visiting the sick was an ancient duty, as was visiting the imprisoned who were dependent on relatives and friends to provide food and water and other necessities. Again, these acts of mercy were not seen as individual responsibilities, but rather a responsibility of the whole community working together. A particular emphasis in our gospel reading today is that sins of omission are judged as harshly as overt sinful acts. Because the least of these, the vulnerable, cannot be forgotten or ignored, as that is where God is. Who are the unrecognizable least of these that demand your and my attention? Who are those in our Christ the King community who we've not seen in a while? Do you notice looking across somebody's missing that you just haven't seen? Why haven't we seen them? Have they been in an accident? Are they struggling with extended illness? Are they feeling down around the holidays, alone and isolated? If we don't know why we haven't seen somebody, maybe it's time to reach out, to give them a call, and to ask how they're doing. Tell them they are missed and loved. Ask how we can help. And who do you know who needs to be invited into our Christ the King community? Who would benefit from being surrounded by a loving community that is waiting to discover and nurture their unique beings and gifts? If someone is coming to mind, please write their name down. Don't wait till the end of the sermon. Make a note on your phone. I won't take offense to thumbs moving right now. Set an alarm. Contact them, check in, see how they're doing, and invite them to be part of your Advent season. And if you can't think of someone, we have a lot of Advent activities and events that provide opportunities for us as a community of faith to care for others. We're doing things like packing shoeboxes for seafarers visiting the port of Houston over the holidays. We're baking cookies to deliver to our homebound. We have lots of opportunities through our service partners like CCSC and Free Wheels Houston and the Food Bank and Amparo and St. James Life Center, right? The list goes on that you can get involved with this Advent season. And we have 24 worship opportunities for you in the month of December, providing sacred time and space to be intentionally present with God and each other, preparing the way for Christ to enter anew into our hearts and into our homes and into our communities. We need you in our Christ the King, y'all. And there's room for many more in our Christ the King, y'all, too. And the King will answer them, "Truly, I tell y'all, just as y'all did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, y'all did it to me." The grace we hear in this passage is that you and I are not being asked to single-handedly save the world. Jesus already did that. But wow, the warning in this passage is that you and I, as individuals, are not off the hook. Rather, we are called to be part of a community that cares for the least of these, a community that promotes compassion and responsibility, a community that responds to the grace that was freely given to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christ the King. We know the identity of Christ the King as the one who frees us from sin and death, the one who holds us close in our suffering, and the one who frees us to be God's presence in the world. As our liturgical year comes to an end, may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. May we perceive the hope to which Jesus calls us, and may our spiritual home continue to prepare the way for the always being made new y'all that we are becoming. Thanks be to God. Amen.